It's a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day on the Wendy's Big Show.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie at 262-796-1400.
That's 262-796-1400.
Or go to KimandLavoie.com.
Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Gary, Rami, and Sparky have been going at it for 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned yet. Time for the guys to reset the big topics from today's big show and let you pick a lane.
Pick a Lane, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, where the 2018 racing season continues. Go to GreatLakesDragaway.com for the season schedule, daily track updates, and to purchase discounted ticket packages.
It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show. We're along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and here's what you have to pick from between now and embedded Green Bay football reporter Mike Clemens joining us at 5:35. Right lane, do you believe Aaron Rodgers when he says he wants to feed Aaron Jones more? And the left lane, do you think the 76ers are the best team in the East with Jimmy Butler? And how do you see the East powers stacking up? Give us your power rankings of the top four or five teams in the conference. 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Aaron Rodgers this morning talking to the assembled media up at Lambeau Field around his locker and the role that Aaron Jones plays in the offense, but especially on third down and in the red zone.
I think it can be, for sure. I mean, you saw the other night, running the football in the red zone has not been a high priority for us, but the abilities that he brings slashing inside, I think, can give us some opportunities to run some more of those plays in the red zone and also set up some of the action stuff. And on third down, you know, he is a very good guy out of the backfield. Now, he does a great job in his protection schemes and picking up pressures, but he's also quick enough and fast enough to be a matchup issue for linebackers in man situations. So we got to keep working him in those situations. And, you know, he's a great player. We just need to continue to give him more opportunities.
He's a great player. We need to continue to give him more opportunities. Sparky, when Gary was here before, he said, yeah, that sounds nice. And we've heard Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy say things along those same lines in the past about Aaron Jones and other running backs, but it just never happens as long as there is a run-pass option and Aaron Rodgers is under center, because Aaron Rodgers believes the best way to win a football game 9 times out of 10, and almost literally by that ratio, is with his right arm, and he's often right about that. Do you believe him when he says that they need to feed Aaron Jones more, or is this lip service like we've heard before from these guys?
It's interesting. David Bakhtiari comes on 4:35 every Tuesday, and he was just on, and we asked him about Rodgers' comments about, you know, not being able to run the ball in the red zone. That's something that they've not done. Maybe they will with Aaron Jones. And we asked David Bakhtiari that comment, and Bakhtiari says it's a joke. We call it the Rodgers zone, that this is a chance for him to, you know, get his touchdowns, pad his numbers, and all that stuff. So now, you know, you look back at the 2 o'clock hour, and I'm questioning why this isn't happening. You know, is it Rodgers? Is it the coaching staff? Is it they're not believing in the offensive line can block all that well when it gets tight because they don't have big enough dudes, or not, you know, road graders or whatever you want to call those dudes, that they're more pass-blocking guys? Really, what is the reason? I don't know what Rami took away from it. From what I took away from it was Bakhtiari pretty much saying, we're passing, we're getting him his numbers. That's what this is all about. And if that's the case, that's not going to change. And Aaron Jones isn't a guy that you're going to pound the ball with inside the five, probably. Anyhow, you're probably going to use Jamal Williams in those situations to finish drives once you get down there. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is stupid. You think Aaron Rodgers is stupid?
No, I think he's very smart.
Okay, so if he's very smart,
yes,
and he's not stupid,
yes,
I don't understand how you possibly could look at the first two possessions they had and do what they did with Aaron Jones and say, not buying into that working. We're going to go back to what we were doing without Aaron Jones being a pivotal part of this offense and go back to doing it the way we were knocking our heads against the wall.
I know you hate that I keep citing larger sample sizes, but Aaron Rodgers is going to look back at 10 years of him doing it with his arm and very little help from a running game.
Because
that's what's gotten it done in the past.
No.
And because he's confident in himself.
But why wasn't there a sizable sample of a running game? Is it because of him or because of McCarthy?
Oh, okay. So if it was because of 12, if it was because of 12, because Gary went off on this tangent earlier in the show about how Eddie Lacy pretty much got left in the dust once Aaron Rodgers came back after having a sizable role when Aaron Rodgers was out and proving that he could excel in that role if given the opportunity. He has done this in the past where, like we've talked about, ignore the running game and we're going to do what Aaron wants to do. I just think now he's got his last big contract probably, right? He's financially set. He needs another Super Bowl ring. I think there are plenty of examples you can look around at quarterbacks as they get later in their careers that turn to different areas to help them get over the hump in different people that help guys get over the hump where it's not how it doesn't have to be all about them anymore. I just think he realizes how good Aaron Jones is. I do, and I think we see more of what we saw on Sunday against the Dolphins, on Thursday against the Seahawks. And if I'm wrong, they're going to get killed.
I'll believe it when I see it. But how about you? Do you believe Aaron Rodgers when he says he wants to feed Aaron Jones more? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Moving to the left lane and talking some Bucks, Sparky, over the weekend. Things changed in the Eastern Conference. How much they changed is sort of the question on the table, but the Philadelphia 76ers acquiring Jimmy Butler from the Timberwolves for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and Jared Bayless, as well as a 2022 second-round pick. I don't really get the move for the Timberwolves, and I don't get a lot of what the Timberwolves do, but that's another discussion for another day. And more pertinent to Bucks fans is what this does for the 76ers and the Eastern Conference. Jimmy Butler, in my book, Sparky, is a top 10, at worst, top 15 player in the NBA. That's a significant addition. Now, they paid a price for him. They gave away some pretty good players for him. What do you think this does for the Philadelphia 76ers as far as their standing in the East?
I don't think it changes it much at all. I think they're still the fourth team at this point, with Boston, Toronto, and the Bucks all in front of them.
In that order?
Yes. But, again, for me at least, I think he's the second most talented player on that basketball team. Yeah, I'm just putting him in front of Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz. I think Embiid is still the most talented guy on that team. And the ball definitely still has to go to Joel Embiid, and you have to let him get his shots. But Jimmy Butler should be the other one that gets a majority of the shots. And Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz and J.J. Redick and the rest of these guys have to understand that Jimmy Butler needs to get his 15 to 20 shots a game. Every night, regardless of what happens, you need to feed him the ball like you feed Joel Embiid. And as long as everybody understands that, on the floor, I think they'll be fine. Off the floor is where the issue is, and that's where everybody is questioning whether or not this works. Eric Name from The Athletic was on, like he is every Tuesday at 3:48 earlier in the show, and said the same thing. It just looks like this is setting up to be an implosion in that 76ers locker room when you start talking about Joel Embiid's mentality versus Jimmy Butler's mentality. Because make no bones about it, this is Joel Embiid's team. Regardless if Jimmy Butler is on this team or not, Rami, this is Joel Embiid's team. He's got that strong of a personality and that type of attitude that he's going to defend his guys and his turf against any outsider that comes in and tries to take over that locker room. That is where it's going to be a problem, if there's going to be a problem. He ain't going to allow Jimmy Butler to go run his mouth at Ben Simmons. He's not going to allow him to go run his mouth at Markelle Fultz, I don't think. Joel Embiid's going to step in and tell him to shut up. Then, will these two tangle like Draymond and Kevin Durant? I don't know, but he better make sure Joel Embiid is with him before he does anything in that locker room.
I take issue with Jimmy Butler's methods, the way he goes about things sometimes. But in his first two stops in the NBA where he's run into problems, I haven't disagreed with not one word that he's said. Those are two dysfunctional organizations that he's played for and talked about, both from the front office and management and ownership of those teams to the coaching criticisms that he had on both of those teams, and some of those were the same coaches, to what he said about some of his teammates on both of those teams, which is that some of, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm nutshelling it, a lot of guys on those rosters didn't care as much as Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler does not handle that well. Jimmy Butler wants guys who are all about the game of basketball every day in practice and for 48 minutes on that floor every time they play. And he didn't see that with the Bulls, and he didn't see that with Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. And he called him out for it. And again, most of what he said, by all indications, is absolutely true and absolutely right, and you throw in the bad blood of a contract situation trying to get settled there in Minnesota, and that's why that situation really imploded. So him going to Philadelphia and him demanding that of these younger guys on that roster and guys who are trying to take that next step in their NBA career and in their development, like Joel Embiid and like Ben Simmons, depending how they respond to it, it could be the best thing that happens to that Philadelphia 76ers team if they answer the call of a Jimmy Butler and follow his lead by example. You're right, Joel Embiid.
You better have Joel Embiid on his side.
Absolutely.
If you don't, it's over.
If those guys are willing to follow Jimmy Butler's lead, it could be the best thing that happens to that team, and they may be the best team in the East just on that little boost that he gives them. If they aren't as receptive, like they weren't in Chicago and they weren't in Minnesota, as he would like them to be by the things he says and the example that he sets, that thing is going to explode just like it did in Minnesota.
I'll make this prediction right now. If this goes wrong, they will send him home and pay him for the rest of the year, and he will not be a part of this team.
You'll do a Le'Veon Bell?
No, they're going to send him home, right? Like the Bulls sent Tim Thomas home back in the day when he was on the Bulls, remember? They said, don't even bother coming. You just stay home and we'll pay you. We don't want you near our team. I think the same thing is going to happen with Jimmy Butler in Philly if this thing goes haywire, especially if it goes haywire after the trade deadline. But I could easily see it either really working well and them really making a run in the Eastern Conference playoffs, or it backfiring and them saying, you know what, we'll live or die without you. You just stay home because you're ruining our locker room. But I don't think Brett Brown's going to stick around and let him tear apart this team for the entire rest of the season if he's an addict, if he's a problem.
As far as how I stack the Eastern Conference, you said it was Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, and then the 76ers.
Yeah.
I got the Bucks at the top right now of my power rankings, because power rankings are the level you're performing at today. And yes, the Celtics could be a better team than the Bucks.
But that's not true, because the Cubs were in front of the Brewers for the majority of the year, and the Brewers were playing better than the Cubs.
Record-wise, yes.
Okay.
The record doesn't always indicate the level that you're playing at.
So Boston's better than Milwaukee? Based on that logic.
Because the Bucks have a better record and are playing at a higher level than the Boston Celtics right now. The Celtics would tell you that.
So the Brewers
Kyrie Irving just said the other day that they're not playing as well as they should be at this point in the season.
No doubt. I totally agree.
Why are you going to get hung up on the Brewers and those power rankings? We're like because, 6 months removed from that.
Because I'm not going to move on past
okay.
that.
Okay.
Because the Brewers, I thought, were playing at a higher level than the Cubs and had a better record. But at the end of the day, nobody would move them past the Cubs because everybody thought the Cubs would be better than the Brewers at the end of the year. So nobody moved them.
No, people were putting the Cubs ahead of the Brewers in the power rankings despite the record early in the season, because the Cubs were amongst the league leaders, if not tops, in statistics like run differential, team ERA, starters ERA, runs scored, et cetera, et cetera.
Even though the record wasn't
slugging
that good.
Percentage, OPS, team OPS.
Gotcha. So,
yeah, people were looking at that. They were looking at the talent, the roster on paper, and everything that goes with that, and that's how you come up with power rankings. I don't know why people get pissed off when the power rankings don't jive
with
the standings.
Some people just do power ranking based on record.
Well,
that
would just be the standings.
I think CBS
What's the point of a power ranking if they're just going to be the standings?
I think CBS just does pretty much based on record. By the way, some breaking news. Brewers Craig Council did not win. No surprise there. Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves won. Tom Hardricourt tweeting, the 2018 NL Manager of the Year, the Atlanta Braves' Brian Snitker, 17 first-place votes. Craig Council with 11 first-place votes in second. Snitker wins close vote, 116-99 over Council. I told you. It's the year of second place in awards for this Brewers team. You got no gold gloves out of that whole deal.
Christian Yelich is going to be MVP. Fear not, Milwaukee.
That should be the difference.
He
right?
will be MVP.
But Stearns, runner-up. Council runner-up, Gold Glove runner-ups across the board, and Yelich better win MVP.
You'll be MVP of dinner time if you stop by Wendy's and the drive-thru on your way home from work.
Bucks back in action tomorrow night against the Memphis Grizzlies. They return home from that four-game West Coast trip, 2-2. Pretty happy with a 2-2 record on the West Coast trip. Probably should have been 3-1. That game Saturday night slipped away. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger with the purchase of a medium drink. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's.
Right lane, do you believe Aaron Rodgers when he says he wants to feed Aaron Jones more? Left lane, do you think the Sixers are the best in the East with Jimmy Butler? And how do you stack up the East, if not? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan, and pick a lane when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this. This is the old Spider-Man cartoon theme for a Tribute Tuesday, honoring Stan Lee, the creator of Marvel and many of the great Marvel characters, including Spider-Man, after he passed away at the age of 95 yesterday. You watched the Spider-Man cartoon?
Yep.
Did you also watch the Spider-Man live-action TV show? That was just the worst when you look back at it now, like the special effects and the acting and everything.
Batman, I watched with Adam West.
Yeah.
Watch a ton of that.
Yeah, this was kind of like that, but you know how Batman was kind of tongue-in-cheek? Like, they knew it was bad on some level and were kind of winking at the camera in that regard. The Spider-Man was just bad, and they had no idea.
Just in general.
They were trying their best, but it was just bad. And especially now, looking back on it, with all the advances and special effects and graphic design and everything that goes into making a superhero movie now, you look back at that and you're like, man, people watched this back then? This was a thing?
Yeah.
But, it has its charm. When you watch it now, it has its charm because it harkens back to those old TV shows and old superhero shows of the 60s and 70s. Did you ever hear the Ramones cover of that Spider-Man theme that we just played there? It's really good. Really, really good. We're in the midst of Great Lakes Dragaway Pick a Lane right now, though. Right lane, do you believe Aaron Rodgers when he says he wants to feed Aaron Jones more? And the left lane, do you think the Sixers are the best in the East with Jimmy Butler? And how do you stack up the East? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan, and get in before Mike Clemens joins us with the latest on the Packers at 535. Jimmy on the East side, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well.
Okay, so I have one comment and one question real quick. Comment on the right lane, I absolutely 100% believe he means that because it is glaring and obvious that he's off this year a little bit. Whatever it may be, I don't know what it is, he's definitely a little bit off. But with having Aaron Jones in that backfield, defenses completely change what they're doing and how they approach the offense. I mean, everybody's seen it when Jamal Williams went in there. They completely they tightened up and they were going to crash down. When Aaron Jones went there, they had to spread out because they didn't know which way he was going to go. He had that game-breaking speed. And that's where your RPOs are really going to start changing and opening it up, I feel. Question for you guys was anybody fooled by the play with Adams in the backfield? You have your best receiver in the backfield and your best running back on the sidelines. Was anybody fooled by that?
No.
Probably not.
I don't think so. And then there was a flag called before they could actually run the play when they were out there. No. But again, look, everybody's going to rip them for not being creative. Everybody's going to rip McCarthy for not coming up with something new, something different or whatever. And that was a look that they hadn't seen all that much with Draymond Green in the backfield. Now, were they actually going to give him the ball or whatever else the case may be? I have no idea. But that is something that – you know, we haven't seen a lot of. We've seen it with Randall Cobb, obviously. We've seen it with Ty Montgomery, guys with wide receivers that got to go back there in the backfield. Are you going to bring, you know, I don't know, think of top wide receivers, Julio Jones, and put him in the backfield next to Matt Ryan? Probably not.
I haven't seen it.
I don't think that's probably
going to
happen.
They'll run him on an end around.
Right. Antonio Brown, does he go in the backfield with Ben Roethlisberger? I could see that maybe happening. With Antonio Brown next to Ben Roethlisberger in the backfield and doing something a little bit different there. But I don't know. You can't have it both ways necessarily. If you're going to rip McCarthy for not being creative and not doing something different, then when he does, you want to rip him for, well, everybody knew what was going to happen there. Okay, well, again, either you want him to try and be creative or you don't. Make up your mind.
As far as the first thing the caller said about Rodgers not being himself this year, and no, he hasn't, but do you think Aaron Rodgers has lost a shred of confidence because he hasn't been himself this year? You think Aaron Rodgers loads up that cannon that he's got on his right shoulder and at any moment goes, I don't know if I can make this pass? Or before a play, he goes, just not feeling it today. I better turn around and hand it off to Aaron Jones. That's probably our best chance to win a football game. That's not how that guy thinks. That's not how that guy thinks. No. That's not how he got to this level.
His ego's not small.
No.
No. You're right about that.
Nobody who's reached that level of success has a small ego.
Yep.
Part of the reason that he's had the success that he's had is because of that ego, because he believes that he can do things that other humans cannot. And a lot of the time, he's right, and there's no problem with him attempting it or trying to carry that team to victory. He's really good at it.
As I've said before, and I'll say it again, the next coach needs to understand how to use Aaron Jones, whoever it is that you're going to hire, going forward. That just everybody has to be on the same page with this. Aaron Rodgers has to buy in. As we've said before, Aaron Rodgers needs a Mike McCarthy like Brett Favre got Mike McCarthy. He needs that guy that's going to come in, set him straight on who the coach is and who the player is, and get him playing back at a high level again. That's what McCarthy did to Brett Favre. That was arguably the best year of Favre's career in Green Bay was that year in Green Bay. Now, he had another great year in Minnesota, but I'm just saying the year in Green Bay, that one year when they went to the NFC Championship game, you could say might have been his best year as far as making the right throws, not making mistakes, as like he always used to do throughout the rest of his career. He was just a more well-prepared quarterback in my mind and did more of the right things under McCarthy right there in the beginning. Because McCarthy challenged him, he accepted the challenge and played at a high level. Whoever the next head coach is, I just don't know if Rodgers will respond the same way Brett did to when McCarthy came in. But that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure the Packers are desperately hoping that that's what happens. But I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. I just got a tweet here from a Whitewater Wizard. He wants to know, what's the awesome Beauforting cider you often rave about? It's actually not a Beauforting product. It's from the same people who distribute Beauforting. It's Ramborn Cider. They make an apple cider, and they make a Perry, which is basically
the pear cider. Is
a pear
really
cider,
good.
Yes. Right. And that's available at Cafe Hollander and Cafe Hollander only. Last time I checked.
That's our guy.
The Perry. Yes.
Yeah.
Used to intern here, right?
Correct.
What's his name? Dan?
Yep.
Dan something?
Yep.
All right. Let me tell you, though, about Beauforting Beer and all their fine products. A premium craft beer from the country of Luxembourg. A family-owned brewery that's been doing it to the same high standard since 1764. And unlike other imports, everything in the Beauforting lineup is smooth. Over 250 years of brewing expertise have made sure of that and their highest drinkability. The Beauforting lineup includes the flagship Pilsner, light, crisp, refreshing. Refreshing. The triple, which is strong yet unbelievably smooth and drinkable, and new this year to the Beauforting lineup is the Brune, a perfectly balanced brew with hints of roasted caramel and malt. It's the perfect easy drinking beer for fall. Had one on a Saturday night with my bratwurst. That's a very good pairing. And speaking of pairings, I'm very excited to tell you about the upcoming Beauforting Beer Dinner at Cafe Hollander in Tosa, Tuesday, November 20th. The owner of Beauforting, George Lentz, is coming all the way from Luxembourg just for this spectacular five-course meal paired with a variety of Beauforting beers. I attended the spring dinner earlier this year, and that was amazing, and I'm being told that this just might outdo that. I'll be there. You can get your tickets by calling Cafe Hollander in Tosa directly. Meanwhile, Beauforting is available in new look bottles and cans at Total Wine and More in Brookfield and Greenfield, and Beauforting Christmas Lager will be available next Friday, November 16th at all Total Wine and More locations. It's a very limited supply for the Christmas Lager. It will sell out quickly, so go and get you a case ASAP. And as an added incentive, Beauforting fans who are throwing parties this holiday season, Total Wine and More is reducing the price of Beauforting all varieties for the rest of the holiday season, but only for the holiday season. I always like it when you show me your Beauforting. Tweet it at Rami is tweeting. And now you can show me your cans with the hashtag show me your Beauforting. It's Milwaukee's new favorite easy drinking import, Beauforting beer. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Mike Clemens, our embedded Green Bay football reporter, he'll join us with the latest on the Packers as they get ready for those Seahawks. That's next right here on the Wendy's Big. That was Packers wide receiver Randall Cobb last week before getting the win over the Miami Dolphins. Over the the Avengers Infinity War theme on a tribute Tuesday, paying homage to Stan Lee, the great creator of Marvel Comics and some of the great Marvel characters after he passed away at the age of 95 yesterday. Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is our embedded Green Bay football reporter, Mike Clemens. Mikey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I learned three things today.
Okay.
First of all, got into the locker room. And it was laid back. They opened the door at 11 o'clock this morning. But talking to the players, you know, they had their 6 a.m. voice. I mean, they're still tired. This is their day off. Like, what are we doing here? And, you know, that thing about, you know, Thursday night football and the short turnaround, it's a real deal, especially for the offensive linemen and trying to get their bodies back. And what did you say? You know, Ellerson said, as a running back, I didn't feel right till Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's an issue. One thing that was really kind of cool is a little camaraderie today. You know, back when Leroy played and Reggie and Adam Timmerman and all those guys, Jamura, they would be playing backgammon or checkers, but they would be sitting in the locker room and they would be there available. But you could see these guys sitting around and yelling and partying and having a good time playing board games. In the last 5 years, that's all dried up because of cell phones. I mean, guys are on their cell phones and they're not playing some video game. They're talking to their friends or social media or whatever. And so today, though, Termon got out the playing cards, and he was there with Tony Brown and the other defensive backs, and the offensive linemen were playing an old dominoes game, which was kind of, you know, warmed my heart because I hadn't seen that in years. You know, Tauscher and Clifton and Scott Wells, those guys used to do that all the time, T.J. Lang and sitting. So that's kind of a cool thing because, you know, it is a moment to team bond. They've got this huge lounge, too, and guys can go back there and shoot pool and all that stuff that we can't see. But anyway, that was kind of a cool moment.
Mike, it's been a couple of years since I've been down in that Packers locker room. Does anybody have one of the video game systems set up in their locker? I see that sometimes in NFL locker rooms, and guys will sort of gather around that, and they'll have a Fortnite tournament or whatever is the hot game at the time. Is that going on in Packers locker room, or are they not allowed to have the game systems in there?
I've never seen that during media time in the locker room. It might go on, but I doubt it. Guys are either they're talking, they're checking their phone, or they're looking at their iPads on the cut-ups from practice. I spoke to Davante Adams, and he had a really interesting the noise factor at the CenturyLink, you know, former Quest Field where the Seahawks play. It's for real. You know, John Kuhn told me one time, and A.J. Hawk said this, it's so bad that you can go helmet to helmet. You can yell in your teammate's ear hole, either at the 50-yard line or sideline something, and that you can't hear it. You don't even waste your voice. And so you really have to go with hand signals. Davante Adams said, what's tough about this game Thursday night is he's got hand signals and nonverbal signals, or they call it, with him and the quarterback. Now, he looks at the snap for when it's time to go. But on Thursday night, he said he and Aaron will have to use up all their hand signals, which teams can get on tape. He said, when we're playing at home, Aaron can use a lot of, you know, he can throw out a word. He can say, you know, raspberry or something, and they know what the code word is, and that saves a lot of their hand signals. So they'll have to burn those up because it's that loud. There seems to be kind of an effort on the media. There was at least three guys today, one in TV, one a national writer, and one our own Ryan Wood, Press Gazette. A lot of guys are going to write a story about Davante Adams. That shouldn't he be considered up there with Antonio Brown, Odell, you know, Julio Jones, as like a top five guy, maybe a push for the Pro Bowl or something. So, and Aaron Rodgers was asked about when did he turn the corner. You know, a year ago at this time, you got Davante Adams telling Bill Michaels, yeah, you know, Brett Hundley and I worked out a lot more this year in the off season. So all of a sudden, Brett Hundley, you know, Davante is the go-to guy, not Jordy Nelson, not Randall Cobb, because Hundley felt like he had chemistry with him. And it also was proving to the offensive coaches, this is the guy we need to direct our offense to, not to Jordy Nelson anymore. And even when Aaron came back for the one game against the Panthers, his primary target was Davante Adams, and Davante got the contract. So it's a little bit of politics, but it's also, you know, being there for the opportunity that Davante sort of planned his plot out that I've got to figure out a way and, you know, an up in my game. And Rodgers talked about it today in his locker.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top player in this league. He's put himself in those conversations with as best receiver in the NFL. I think he really has. And, you know, Ryan asked a question, I think, last week or after the game about him getting his credit that he deserves, and it's going to come. The real respect is the coverage that he faces. You know, he doesn't face a lot of one-on-ones. He's getting help. So we got to find ways to keep moving him around in different spots and getting him the ball. But he's such a dynamic player. The great thing about him is that, to me, his success has been gradual as his practice habits have improved. And he's got to watch two of the best to ever do it for us as far as approach in Jordy and Randall. But he practices like a great player. And he sets a great example for our young guys on what it looks like every single day. Just the other day at practice, we had one-on-ones, and it was an absolute clinic by him. And he was going against Jair, who's a very good player. But that's what it means to be a great player, is you bring it every single day. And Davante is in that category, deserves to be mentioned amongst the names that people talk about as best receivers in the NFL.
This is the problem. The problem I see with this, Clemens, is look at the receivers that have left Green Bay and what they've done since they've left. That's where the hang-up is going to be, I think, for possibly some guys that are a little bit jaded on this. Greg Jennings leaves, nothing all that special, right? Jordy Nelson leaves, and you've seen what's happened in Oakland. Now, with all due respect, Oakland's a train wreck anyhow. But if you look at the guys that have left here, I mean, who's really left here and gone on to have equal success somewhere else?
Well, you brought back James Jones, and there, you know, there's something that he had in terms of chemistry. But no, it's the stopwatch was probably what led to those decisions and not bringing those guys back. Oh, by the way, Brian Gutekunst ran into him in the locker room today. So, see, he's not doing the Ted thing where he takes off on Tuesdays and he's there at 5 a.m. at some college campus on Wednesday. I think he stays home and runs the office, unlike Ted, who still thought he was a scout. But Jared Cook, man, I mean, that's the biggest boneheaded decision in the last 3 years. Every time I turn on the Raiders, there he is with 6 catches and 100 yards. Why they didn't sign him and they brought in Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, really, really bad mistake. So these guys are getting on the plane here. They take 2 planes. The first one's filled with staff. The second one's with the players and select staff. I heard that Nick Perry is not getting on the plane.
Yeah, there's like 4 guys that aren't going on this trip. Bryce isn't going. Nick Perry isn't going.
Yeah.
Who are the other two that aren't? Cobb's not going, right?
And Geronimo Allison,
yep. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Did see Geronimo today in the locker room, but just briefly, is talking to Aaron Rodgers, so I couldn't go up there and ask him how that brain injury actually happened in practice, 2 weeks ago on Thursday, but now he's on the IR. So, the overall mood of the locker room, man, it's they're a little gassed. There is no spark right now, like, oh, this is it now. Here's where we get on our roll and all that. And I think it's because of 12. I mean, they look to Aaron Rodgers to be the superstar who's going to get hot like he did at the end of the Bears game, and he's missing throws. Man, he had MVS wide open across the middle, and like, who are you? We're number 12. There's just some throws he's making that are way off, and that seems to be the difference right now. The defense and their sack total, they got 31 and they're tied for first place now. Well, it's because they got all those sacks in garbage time against the Dolphins and, 4 backup offensive linemen. I mean, the Dolphins, that was amazing that they even stayed on the field, with third stringers on their offensive line. But, we'll see if these guys get it together and they get some adrenaline going. It's Thursday night football. And if they can, compete with Russell Wilson, who Clay today said was interesting. He said, what's different about Russell? Yeah, he's a mobile quarterback, but he is so good at looking downfield and looking off receivers while he's running. He's doing that. And that's what makes him really tough, is because it's not like he's looking where to run. He's still working the field downfield to see where Doug Baldwin is or Lockett or those guys. And that's what makes him a tough out.
That's Mike Clemens. Find more of his work at 1057FMTheFan.com, as well as our Facebook page. And he's on Twitter at Mike Clemens NFL. Mikey, appreciate it. We'll talk again on Thursday, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Brooke Linen sheets. If you don't have them, get them. Why do you need to get them? Because it's a lot better than the sheets you're probably sleeping on right now. These are luxury sheets without the crazy markup to go along with it. Do you realize that a lot of sheets that you buy have as much as a 300% markup? Listen, I'll be honest with you, man. I wasn't a huge believer that sheets make a difference one way or the other. I wasn't. Whatever. Sheets are sheets. Who cares? You go to sleep. But, man, if you sleep better, you feel better the next day. And good sheets help go along with that. It's all kind of like a team effort, to put it in a sports way, right? And not only do they have sheets at Brooke Linen, they got sheets. They've got comforters. They've even got towels that you can buy, too. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich, the mission is simple. Make 5-star hotel quality sheets more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. My Brooke Linen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now it's time for your upgrade. BrookeLinen.com is giving you an exclusive offer just for Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code SPARKY at BrookeLinen.com. Brooke Linen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SPARKY at BrookeLinen.com. That's BrookeLinen.com. Promo code SPARKY. Brooke Linen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC from the Iron Man soundtrack here as we wrap up a tribute Tuesday, paying honor to Stan Lee, the creator of Marvel Comics and some of the great Marvel comic characters, with theme songs from various TV shows and movies inspired by those characters he created. I enjoyed it thoroughly. We lost a good man yesterday. We had a good show today, though. Our thanks to Bob McGinn of BobMcGinnFootball.com for joining us. Eric Name on the Bucks beat for The Athletic. David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, who made his weekly visit before hopping on the plane to Seattle, and Mike Clemens,
from the cold tub,
our embedded Green Bay football reporter. Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Oh, weird.
Hey, man, it's a short week. Got to get all. Would you rather?
Get it all
it's
in,
fine.
Right?
You usually exactly. don't get naked into those things.
Would you rather he not come on the big show or come on the big show cold and naked?
No, I like it. I mean, now he's dubbed the red zone, the Rogers zone. He's what they call it. He said as a joke.
Thanks to all of you for listening and contributing to the Wendy's big show tomorrow. We'll talk with John Jurkovic.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
From former Packer from ESPN 1000. He joins us at 3:05. And Gary Wolfe, our Milwaukee basketball analyst, he'll join us at 4:48.
And by the way, Tom Kesnick this week on Thursday, 4 to 4:30.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.